Well, please turn with me in your Bibles to the Apostle Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians and chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And verse 3. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3. These words: "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." And our subject this morning is the simplicity of the gospel, the simplicity of the gospel. Well, those of you who were with us last week, Lord's Day morning, We'll perhaps remember that we looked at a verse from the first letter of the Apostle Paul to the Corinthians, to the church in Corinth, that is, and we considered those glorious words concerning the victory over death that every believer knows and rejoices in. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? That's that great verse of victory over death, and that tremendous promise of eternal life. And that was in the first letter to the Corinthians. Now in this second letter, well, there are tremendous things written, and we read from chapter 5, which again speaks of all that Christ has done for us. But our focus is going to be on this 11th chapter, and really, these are not words of rejoicing, certainly not at the beginning of the chapter. These are words of warning against false teachers in the church. Paul is fearful. Verse 3, "I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." What was the Apostle Paul's fear? Well, there were false teachers who had come into the church at Corinth, and the Apostle Paul feared that people were being taken in by these false teachers, and this was the warning of the Apostle Paul to them, and we have to take that warning on board, most certainly, because there have been false teachers in every age of the Christian church. Those who seek to lead believers astray, those who have no real love for the Lord or the Lord's people, those who seek to deceive the Lord's people. They deceive. That's why the Apostle Paul says here, "as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety." You remember in the Garden of Eden how the serpent deceived Eve? The serpent said to Eve, "You can take the fruit of the tree, the forbidden fruit. You can take it. Nothing's going to happen. You're not going to die." But that was a deception. And this is how false teachers come into the church. They deceive us. We have to be careful of this, even in this day and age, particularly in this day and age. Because, look at verse 4. "For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus." There are people even nowadays who preach another Jesus. The true Jesus, well, he is the eternal Son of God, and he is fully God, he is fully man. You know, there are some people who deny that nowadays. They come into the church saying, "Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ, he wasn't divine. He was just a man, just like anybody else. He's just a prophet." There are some cults who think like that, the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons, false teachers who come in and they preach another Jesus. And then there are some who preach another gospel. "If he that cometh preacheth another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted." You know, there are people preaching other gospels. I've spoken about this many times. People who preach a prosperity gospel, for example. That's the gospel, they say. God wants to make you rich. That's the good news of the gospel. God wants to give you everything you desire materially. That's a false gospel. That's another gospel, false teaching. And this is so common nowadays. You have all these televangelists saying, give all your money to me and God will make you rich. That's false teaching. So I just start with this because, even in the days of the Apostle Paul, there were false teachers. And that will always be the case in the Christian church, those who seek to lead us astray. And so this is his great fear. But my focus, as I've already mentioned this morning, is on those last words in verse 3, the simplicity that is in Christ. The false teachers were corrupting the believers and leading them away from the simplicity that is in Christ. And by this we read the simplicity that is in the gospel. Christ is the gospel. The gospel is Christ. And the gospel message, well, it is so simple. And this morning, not only do I want to point out how simple the message is, but I want to bring to your attention the reasons why the message is so simple. Why is the gospel message so simple? And the first reason that I want to bring to you is that the gospel is so simple because it's for all of us. It's for all of us. The gospel is so simple so that everybody can understand it. That's why it's so simple. I remember as a child trying to watch the news on TV. And in my day, we didn't have all these channels. Normally, you'd watch the news at 6 o'clock on BBC, the 6 o'clock news. And as a child, you try to watch the news, you couldn't understand any of it. You try as hard as you can, but all this talk about politics and the economy and world affairs, you couldn't really understand. It wasn't simple enough to understand, try as you might. But you know, this gospel, this good news, you can understand it. It is simple enough, even for a child to understand, even a small child. This is why we teach the children, even from a very young age. Some people say to us, oh, why are you teaching 3-year-olds? Can they understand it? Yes, of course, they can understand it. Because this gospel message is not like things that we read of in this world that are so often very complicated and above what we can think. The gospel is so simple. You can teach it to little children and even they can understand it because it's for everyone, from the youngest even to the oldest. You know, we go into old people's homes sometimes and old people, sometimes they've lost their capacity, their mental capacity. They can't take things in like they used to. But you know, when you tell them about God, when you share the gospel with them, you can see they understand. Even though they've lost their mental capacity, when they hear about the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel, they understand it because it's simple. It's for everybody, from the youngest to the very eldest. The gospel is for all. That's why it's so simple, so that nobody is excluded. And this is the glorious thing about the gospel. Everybody is invited. Everyone is invited to come and to know the Lord, to know his love, to know his mercy, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's for everyone. So this may even be the first time you are hearing this message. Perhaps not those who are present here, but somebody watching online. And if it is, well, know that the gospel message is for you. And whoever you are, you can be assured that it is simple enough for you to understand. The gospel is simple because it's for every one of us, whoever we are. But the second reason why it is so simple is because it is so important. The gospel message is simple because it's important. An important message needs to be very simple. Well, in this time of coronavirus, the government has tried. Some say that perhaps it hasn't done enough and hasn't really succeeded, but at least the government has tried to keep the message, the advice, as simple as possible. We've had all these slogans to keep it simple. Stay at home, protect the NHS, save lives. Simple. More recently, we've had hands, face, space. It's a simple message. Why is it simple? Because this is very important. This is very serious. We can't afford to have a complicated message because lives are at stake. So you have to keep it simple. The message is simple because it's very important. It's a very serious situation. And it's the same with the gospel. Why is the gospel simple? Because it's so important. Because it's so very serious for every single one of us. And we have to understand this. The gospel, well, it speaks about the salvation of our souls. The salvation of our souls, which is, you all know this, the most important part of you. That's the most important part of you. The body, yes, it's important, but it's not the most important part. Yes, we are flesh, we are blood, but that's not all we are. We have a soul. The real you, that which is the real life of you, the soul which animates the body. The body would be nothing without the soul. The soul is the real you. Your character, your personality, your emotions, your conscience. That's the most important part of you, the soul. And the soul, as we often say, is everlasting. The soul never ages. And I've mentioned this example before, but old people, well, when they get to a certain age, perhaps they get to their 80s or their 90s, their bodies start to fail. They can't do the things that they used to do when they were young. Of course not. But they will often say to you, but I feel the same inside. I feel the same as I did when I was a child. Inside of me, I feel exactly the same. I know this body is old, but inside, I feel exactly the same. Why is that? Because the soul never ages. The soul is everlasting. The soul is eternal. The body will age. The body will die. But the soul continues to exist. And this is why it's so important. We often phrase the gospel in this way. Where will you spend eternity? Where will your soul go when you die? One preacher put it like this. Where will you be in 1,000 years' time? Where will you be in 1,000 years' time? Don't think, oh, I'll be dead and in the ground. No, your soul is everlasting. Where will your soul be for all eternity? Will it be lost forever? Or will it be found with God forever? You see how serious this is? This is why the gospel is so simple, because it is so serious. We're thinking about where we are going to spend eternity. And this is so very important to all of us, the soul of each and every one. The gospel has been given to us that we may know the salvation of our souls. And so we must listen and listen well. But the third reason I want to bring to you as to why the gospel message is so simple, and this will be more challenging for us. The gospel is so simple so that we have no excuse to reject it. No excuse to reject it. You know, nobody can say that I never came to God, I never came to the Lord because I couldn't understand the message. Nobody can say that. Because the message is so simple. As we've already discussed, it's simple even for a child to understand. You can never say, oh God, I didn't understand it. It was too complicated. You can't say that. The message is so simple. Why Christ came into the world, who he was the eternal Son of God, why he died on the cross. Do we know why he died? It's so simple. The Lord Jesus Christ, he was dying in our place. Is that not simple? He was our substitute. You all know what a substitute is. I'm sure you've all watched a football match. If a football player gets injured, if he's down on the ground, well, then a substitute comes on. He has to go off. A substitute comes on in his place. He takes the place of that player. He replaces him. Well, you know, this is what Christ did on the cross. He takes our place. We are sinners. We have committed sin against God. We have disobeyed God. We have broken the laws of God. We deserve to be punished. But Christ has taken our place on the cross. He's taken our place. He has taken the punishment that we deserve. He has stood condemned instead of us. On the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ said, Lord, punish me instead of them. I am their replacement. I am their substitute, so that they may be forgiven. Dear friends, this is so simple. How can you not understand this? Christ was our substitute. This is what every believer knows and understands. I know that I will never be punished for my sin. Why not? Because Christ took the punishment for me. He came and took my place. He was my substitute. This is so very simple, dear friends. Now, I know that some people, they still insist, I don't understand it. They will insist to you. Some people will even leave this building and say, I still don't understand it. But you know, the most common reason why people don't understand, and I think this is the case for everyone, is because you don't want to understand it. People who say they don't understand the gospel, it's because they don't want to understand it. They don't want God in their lives. They don't want the authority of God over them. They don't want to be Christian. That's really why you don't understand it. It's not because you can't understand it. It's because you don't want to understand it. And that's a great sin. And this is what the world is like. They claim they can't understand this book. But it's because they don't want to understand this book. They don't want to understand the gospel message. Well, is that you? Am I speaking to anybody here? The gospel message is so simple, but you just don't want it. Dear friends, this is such a tragedy. You fall into the category of those whom the Apostle Paul was fearful of. Your minds have been corrupted. You've been taken in. You've been deceived by this world. You've been deceived by the promises of this world. I fear for you. Just like the Apostle Paul feared for those believers in Corinth, I fear for you. If you've been taken in by this world, I can't live without the things of this world. Your mind has been corrupted. I fear for you because your souls, well, they are in great danger. They are at stake. Come to the Lord. Come to him. Come to Christ. How do you come to Christ? Again, it's so simple. It's not complicated. You know, some other religions, if you want to follow their religion, well, you have to do things that are very complicated. Maybe you have to go on some pilgrimage. Maybe you have to follow some elaborate religious ritual or say some complicated prayer of some kind. Dear friends, if you want to be a Christian, it's so simple. You just believe. You just believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have faith. That's all you need to do. You believe that when the Lord Jesus Christ died, it was for my sin. It was for me. Sins that I've committed in my life, they were placed upon Christ, and he took the punishment. It's so simple. You pray to God. You say, Lord, give me that faith, that saving faith, and he will. He will hear you and he will answer you. This is how simple it is. This is how wonderful it is, dear friends. I hope we realize how wonderful it is that the Almighty God, who is so glorious, so great, the God who is beyond our understanding, has given us a message so simple that even a child can understand and be saved, because he wants us to know him. He wants us to know his love and his mercy and his salvation. Go to him, dear friends. This is the message. I hope I've made it as simple as I possibly can. But you go to the Lord and you seek his face, and he will show you the way of salvation. Well, may the Lord bless these things to us. Let us turn in our hymn books to hymn number 361. And this presents the gospel to us very simply, a hymn of Charles Wesley. Hymn number 361. All ye that pass by, to Jesus draw nigh. To you is it nothing that Jesus should die? Our ransom and peace, our surety he is. Come see if there ever was sorrow like his. For what we have done, his blood must atone. The Father has punished for us his dear Son. The Lord on that day of atonement did lay our sins on the Lord, and he bore them away. He died to atone for sins not his own. Our debt he has paid, and our work he has done. So we may receive the peace he did leave, who made intercession, my Father, forgive. For sinners like me, he prayed on the tree. Through his intercession, the sinner goes free. That sinner am I, who on Jesus rely, and come for the pardon God will not deny. His death is my plea, my advocate see, and hear the blood speak that has answered for me. He purchased the grace which now I embrace. O Father, thou knowest, he has died in my place. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our gracious God, O Lord, how we thank thee that the God who is beyond our understanding, the limitless God, the infinite God, has given us a message of salvation that is so simple. And dear Lord, we do pray that we will each one lay hold upon the salvation that is contained therein, that salvation that is revealed to us through Christ Jesus. Lord, bless us, save us each one. Speak to those who do not yet know thee, particularly those who are young. For Lord, we know that we can never be too young to come to the Lord. And dear Lord, bless us, we pray. Forgive us afresh all our many sins. Help us in all our battles and lead us in that way everlasting. We commit this day to thee, and we ask all these things in our Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen.